All right, let's go back, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27. We are looking at the Shekinah, the glory of God as it is found in the Bible. And we started this study, I don't know when, but we've been looking at the glory cloud as it has appeared going through the Bible. And we've noticed that it has showed up in some unusual places. We have seen, of course, with the children of Israel in Egypt, and then the children of Israel as they escaped Egypt and came down towards the Red Sea, and it was the cloud that directed them. Then they got to the Red Sea, and the cloud showed up to be a light for them and darkness to the Egyptians. And it just continues on for well over 2,000 years or so. That cloud was with them all the way, and then when Ezekiel was on, the prophet in Israel, Ezekiel had a vision, and he saw the Shekinah as it left, and that was a sad day. That broke the prophet's heart. It grieved his soul to realize that that God had left. You could have just written Ichabod across the mantle of the door to the temple, because the glory had departed. And so Ezekiel saw it linger by the door, and then it went outside the door, and it stood outside the door for a long time. And then it went over to the Mount of Olives, and then finally went up to heaven. And it was a sad day, although the people of Israel were so blind to God, they didn't even realize what had happened. But that's what happened. And then we've been looking at the Shekinah at the Transfiguration for about the last month. But we finished that up last week and barely got started here in Matthew 27. But that's where we are tonight. All right. So let's look, please, at verse 45, chapter 27. I'm in 17. Don't you know that? I open my Bible and it falls open to Transfiguration. All right. Why are there not 45 verses in chapter 17? But anyway, go down, please, to verse 39. It says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save." Now, did you see that guy on the news from over in Turkey today? Anybody see that? Who's giggling over there? Yeah, some of you did, a couple of you did. Well, he went before the Turkish parliament and just decided to have him an anti-Israel rant. And when he finished, he took a step this way and then fell over with a heart attack. That fast, just like that. Yeah, don't mess with God's people. Don't mess with them. Oh, he was hot. He was hot. He would, you know, destroy them. They need to be destroyed. Blah, 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 blah. Turn, boom, down he went. But he doesn't do that no more. All right, look, please, if you will, now where I left off. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour, and that's noon, remember the Jewish day, 12 hours and 12 hours to make 24 hours. You had 12 hours of darkness, 12 hours of light. And so the 6 o'clock in the morning, that was the first hour. You go 6 hours from there, you're at noon. And then you go 3 more hours and you're at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right. Look, please, at verse 45. It says, there was darkness. There was darkness. Now, I told you last week that the theologians, you know, those who think that they have a market on understanding of the Bible, the theologians have come up with all kinds of explanations to what they think was going on here, where it says that the darkness was over all the land. And some of them have come up with some pretty radical explanations as to what was happening here. But I think there is one explanation that really is the only one that makes sense, and the one that that's meets all the conditions and satisfies our common sense and our relative understanding of things, and that is that this darkness was produced by the glory cloud. It was the glory cloud. It was the Shekinah glory of God that was this cloud that came. When we view the darkness in this light, now listen very carefully here. When we view the darkness in this light, it is no longer merely incidental. All right. Now that's what a lot of the theologians have come up with. That's their argument. They say, oh, this was just a coincidence. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And I think it ceases to be merely incidental. And then common sense would tell you that what happened here was not inconsequential, but was definitely, definitely of greatest importance. What happened here was not just happenstance. It did not just occur. And it indicates to us that God Almighty was present in a special way when his son was on Calvary's cross paying the penalty that we owe for sin. So God Almighty was present in a very special way, I think, in the behalf of all of us, of all of mankind. So the question arises, if God was present and if God was active, why was this cloud a cloud of darkness? All right, you, I mean, you know, the doubters and the skeptics will say, After all, Pastor, isn't God a God of light and in him is no darkness at all? I will say to you that this statement is true. But realize, folks, that God can and God does choose the manner in which he manifests himself. All right? He chooses the manner in which he shows himself or manifests himself or displays himself. On this occasion, God chose the dark cloud because the crucifixion was an act of judgment. It was an act of judgment. And this matter of God appearing as the Shekinah glory cloud and acting in judgment is not unprecedented. Do you remember when the Lord was dealing with Pharaoh and Egypt in the matter of the 10 plagues that God sent upon them? All right, now I submit to you that what God was doing was working in judgment against Egypt. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, it's kind of amazing how each of these 10 plagues were used to deliver Israel from the bondage and the captivity that Egypt was putting upon them. All right? And I want you to turn back now. We're going to check a couple of Bible verses, a couple of different chapters here, and I'll show you that it's not unusual when God is dealing in judgment for him to be a dark cloud. It's not unusual. Take your Bible, please, and go back to Exodus chapter 10. All right, Exodus chapter 10. Exodus 10. Everybody got it? All right, look please, if you will, at verse 21. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be what?
Darkness.
Stretch out thine hand. Now, who said that to Moses? The Lord did. God did. All right? Jehovah God did. Stretch out thine hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now, that's pretty dark, isn't it? Have you ever gone down into the Shenandoah Valley and gone to any of those cave parks down there? I did that once. Once. Never again. Never again. I did it once. We got down underneath that thing, and he walked us up where there was a little stream flowing, and they had three big old rainbow trout about that big in that little stream. Three great big ones. I know they had them tied up. I know they did. But they had they had three rainbow trout. I mean, no, they were big. They were almost 2 feet long, and they were just in there swimming up, you know, just going, feeling the water come, watching the water come, and all that stuff. And the guy said, "All right, now we're going to do something." He said, "Don't panic. Don't anybody panic." But he said, "We're going to turn the lights out." And I immediately thought, don't do that. Don't do that. What is wrong with you? I mean, what if the lights don't come back on? We're in trouble. And this was pre-cell phone days when I was there. So, you know, I was a little nervous about that. So he said, put your hand right in front of your face. And then when I turn the lights out, you move your hand and then put your hand back. He said, you won't be able to see your hand that close to your eyes. So he hit that light. Lights went out. And he was right. It was the darkest dark I have ever been in my life. You know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. And there was no light down there. They turned the light out, and there was no light. Man, you could feel it. I mean, that was sort of the thought. You could reach out and feel the darkness. You could just reach out and like you're grabbing a hold of it, but you couldn't get a hold of anything. I mean, it was the strangest feeling, all right? So that darkness that we're reading about here, all right, this darkness, well, let's read verse 22. It says, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a, all right, so here it goes a little deeper, doesn't it? There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days. So think about it. 3 24-hour periods. No light. No light. They, verse 23, look at it. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So there was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen, where the Israeli camp was. Now, folks, listen, I submit to you that the darkness that we just read about here was not natural darkness. It was not natural. This darkness was supernatural darkness. It was sent by God in judgment of the Egyptians. And here's the ironic thing. Think about this, folks. This is, it was God Almighty acting in judgment. So it was God himself that caused the cloud to be dark. It was God himself. Now think about this. In Egypt, in that time of their history, when the children of Israel were in bondage and you had the pharaohs doing their thing, and you know, Egypt was one of the wealthiest countries on the planet. It was a kingdom that basically ruled the whole region, blessed beyond comprehension they were. They had, as you can imagine, they had gold and silver and all this other precious material. They had all these things. My goodness, they built the pyramids. And if you've ever seen the pyramids up close and personal, that took a little effort. That took a little effort. And so in all of Egypt's splendor and glory, that is when this was happening. Okay? And in that time of their history, the sun was worshipped as their primary god. They worshipped the sun. His name was Amun Ray, R-A. That was his name. And they worshiped Amun-Re and gave him all of the qualities that of deity that our Bible gives to our triune God. All the qualities and characteristics of deity were given to this God of stone. Amazing, huh? And so what God did with these 10 plagues was he sent a judgment upon each of the 10. That's what the 10 plagues were all about. The 10 plagues were sent one after another in succession, and the whole idea was that God was destroying that which they leaned upon for everything, a false god. And so it's kind of strange, don't you think, that the God of Moses and Aaron and the God of Israel brought the judgment upon the false gods of the Egyptians, and they were powerless before Israel's God. Powerless. They could not overturn what Moses and Aaron, through the power of God Almighty, were able to do. They couldn't overturn it. And so one of the most devastating of the plagues that God sent in judgment was this matter of darkness so thick that Moses said you could feel it. You could feel it. And it lasted for 3 days and three nights. Ironic, huh? 3 days and three nights. That's amazing if you ask me. And in this specific plague, in this 10th chapter of Exodus, verse 21 through verse 23, God caused the glory cloud to descend upon Egypt as darkness. Why? Judgment. It was done in judgment, not merely to cut off the source of light and heat, but to prove that one greater and mightier than a man-made sun god was dealing with them in judgment. Does that make sense to you? I'm sure they had all their witch doctors and all the rest of it out there, you know, dancing around and twirling around and going all contemporary on everybody and trying to get the darkness lifted. Waste of time. Man, when God judges, God judges. God judges. Now, here's another example. Just turn over a couple chapters to chapter 14. All right, let me give you another little example here of the glory cloud dealing in judgment and showing up as a dark cloud. All right, so I'm trying to get you to see it's not unheard of, but every time God shows up as the Shekinah glory in a dark cloud, he shows up in judgment. And of course, certainly, the Lord Jesus is being judged on Calvary's cross for our sins. He is paying our sin debt. All right, look at chapter 14, look at verse 19. The Bible says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. All right, now look up here. Here's what he's saying. Children of Israel, come down to the Red Sea. They're standing there, 3 million of them. They're standing there looking at the water and wondering, why did the cloud bring us down here? So they're all down at the sea. Now, that terrain over there, just like with everything else, it goes down to the sea. Everything over there goes down to the sea. The water of the Red Sea is at sea level. So they go down and stand on the shore. They stand on the beach. And up here on top of the mountain, which is not really a mountain, it's a big hill, but it's not a mountain. And here comes Egypt, Pharaoh and his army. And all of a sudden, the cloud that was leading the children of Israel rises up, goes over and stands between the children of Israel at the shore and the Egyptian army behind them. All right, you see that? Now, read on. Look at what happened. Verse 20. It says, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's God. All right. So it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it was light to the children of Israel. Okay. Now read on. Look at the 21st verse. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, how many of you would have been tempted to stick your hand in that wall? Huh? I would have. I got a couple of grandsons that would have probably wanted to go swimming. That's awesome to me. I mean, they walk over on dry ground. How many thousands of years has that water been on that seabed? Amazing, isn't it? Verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued, not smart, and went in after them. Now that's arrogance right there. If ever there was arrogance, that's it. Man, they went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. So folks, when Moses tells us here that it was dry land, I mean, it must have really been dry land, don't you think? Because I don't think if it was muddy and if it was was a swamp down there, I don't think that those grown men would have said, you know, I think we can make this. No, it was dry land. It was dry ground. Amazing. All right, so verse 24. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked into or unto the host of the Egyptians, that's their army, through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So that's judgment. That's God's wrath and God's judgment. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to then argue that when the cloud fell upon the earth for 3 hours during the time when our Savior was paying the penalty that we owe for sin. You see, God has used darkness in judgment before. That's what I'm saying. One more. Go over to chapter 19. One more. Look at verse 7, please. It says, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now watch. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. Now, what's this talking about? Well, here's what it's talking about. God called Moses up into the mountain, Mount Sinai. And when God called him up there, there was the Shekinah descended upon the top of Mount Sinai. Now, we didn't get to see it because the trip got canceled thanks to those nut jobs over there. Ruined our trip. Well, I was so anxious to see that. I was going to give it a college try to climb up to the top of the mountain, I can tell you that. I was going to try, and I think I could do it. It was within my intention to do it. But they say, but when you get there, you can look up on that mountain. I mean, it's not that tall. It's not that high. You're already high up above sea level when you get to it. And then it just rises up. And it's all rocky, and there's rocks everywhere, volcanic rock everywhere. And you got to work your way through all of that, dodging the sidewinders and the spiders and all the other little creepy crawlies, which I didn't tell anybody about, lest they back out. Sidewinder rattlesnakes. Yeah, the ones that hide in the sand and wake you up when you walk by. All right, you with me? I'd have never made it, probably. You're right. And you stay out of this, all right? Point is, folks, God said he came down to talk to Moses and he wanted the people to get near. Why? They couldn't see him. The reason they couldn't see him is because he was in the cloud. He was in the cloud and he was giving Moses instruction and direction, the law. But he wanted Israel to hear him talking to Moses. And then they would hear what Moses said. Then Moses would come down and say, gather around, I'm going to tell you what God said. And he would tell them what God said, and they would look at one another and say, that's exactly what we heard. That's exactly what we heard. All right, so he said, a thick cloud in the people, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Man, that's powerful, folks. That's powerful. And there's more examples. There's Deuteronomy 4:11. There is Deuteronomy 5:22. There is Joel 2 and verse 2. There is Zephaniah 1 and verse 15. And in all of these verses, the cloud is darkness. Why? Because it is dealing in judgment. Now go back to Matthew. And folks, that is exactly what is going on here in Matthew 27. We have God dealing with his own son on our behalf in judgment. He takes your sin, my sin, the sins of the whole world. And there on that cross, God lays our penalty upon him. And for 3 hours, folks, our wonderful Savior endured all that hell could throw at him. The devil unleashed everything he had against the Lord Jesus. All right, so Christ's death on the cross was a judgment death. And that's why the darkness fell. All right, now we'll get into it a little bit deeper next week. All right, everybody following me all right? All right, try to lay a foundation for you and get you to see it. I tell you, this book's amazing, isn't it? Man, and whew, I just stand in awe of this book, I'll tell you. But in the Bible, let me read you this verse. All right. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. This is Joel 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Listen, a day of darkness. Did you hear that? A day of darkness. What's he talking about? He's talking about when the Lord returns at his second coming. Not the rapture, the return. With all of his saints, with us. All right? So he says, somebody stand up and blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. They always blew the trumpet before a fight, before a battle. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds. Hello? A day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So Joel saw this army, the Lord's bringing back with him, which is us. Joel said, wow, I've never seen an army like that. I've never seen an army like that. And you know what's going to be so special about it? It's going to be special because the Lord is leading us. The Lord is out front. All right. Hope that blesses you, because it sure has blessed me putting it together. I'll tell you that. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing your son to go to that cross to pay our sin debt. And Father, you dealt with him there in judgment because he was paying our sin debt. He had no sin of his own. He wasn't paying his own debt, but he was paying ours. And we rejoice in that. And thank you, Father, for what you provided for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. So bless this to our hearts. Encourage us in the faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.